Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 44 of Isaiah, a continuation of our walk with God, our progression to Mount Zion. How's that? Okay? In our maturity. I'll begin by reading. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jezreel, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me? Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show to them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it that you are my witnesses? Is there a God besides me? There is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, they are nor know, and that they may be ashamed. Who has formed a god or molten image, graven image, that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both works in the coals and fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it out with a line. He fits it with planes, and he marks it out with a compass and makes it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He hews him down cedars and takes the cypress, and the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain does nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bakes bread. Yea, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down thereunto. He burns part thereof in the fire, and with part thereof he eats flesh. He roasts flesh and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he makes a god, even his graven image. He falls down to it and worships it and prays to it and says, Deliver me, for you are my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considers in his heart, neither is there any knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked the bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, and I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You shall not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions, and as a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O you heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains. O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb. I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. that frustrates the tokens of the liars and makes diviners mad, that turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolish, that confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, that said to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundations shall be laid. Let's go back and start over again now. Break it down. The first word, yet, shouldn't be there. The only time you have is what? Now. And that's what this word starts out with, now. Now here, now shama is the Hebrew word. Okay, now hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to what you hear. Oh, Jacob, he's talking to who? He's talking to each one of us in our natural state. Jacob, my servant. What are we here for? Serve God, okay? And Israel, whom I have chosen. He said, Jacob, my natural man's a servant, but your spiritual man inside is the one he's chosen. Do you hear that? That's those two men in the earth we talked about earlier. And you didn't choose him, did you?
No.
The book clearly states, you did not choose me, I chose you. So we need to go back to that and realize it. It's all about what he chose. Thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you. This word formed here literally is molded, like the potter molds the clay. So he took the clay and he formed it. Now we're not talking about when Adam was formed in Genesis. We're talking about the shaping process through our journey. See, he's the one that's shaping us through that journey. And he can add a little here or take a little off anytime he wants to, because he's the one spinning you around on that wheel, isn't he? He's the one that's in control. So whenever those strange things happen to us, like James said, think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon you. Mm-hmm. Who's in control? If you're in control, you're going to think it's strange. But when you realize who's in control, it's just the process. And you know it's part of the journey. God is processing me. Praise God for that. See? Not a problem. Just a symptom. Okay. He said he formed you from the womb, which will help you, and literally should be protect, which will protect you. He said, fear not, Jacob, my servant, and you, Jezreel. What is Jezreel? It's a symbolic name for Israel. So he was just saying another word for the same thing. And it confuses, some people think that's another person, but that was Israel, the changed man, the one that had been surnamed, given a new nature, right? That's our inside man. And look what he said, whom I have chosen. Israel's the one God chose, correct? Did they volunteer? I think they tried to get away as much as anybody else, didn't they?
Sure, they
were human. See? But God chose them. And God makes a choice to us. It's not whether you can go to the front of a church and bow down and say I'm sorry and cry and slobber all over that board up front and everything to impress all the people watching. That's not what it's about. It's when God makes a choice for you, okay? And there's a lot of ways that God makes that choice and decides to bring you in. It's not all about that way. Most people have went that way because they were told that's what they were supposed to do. But you know what? That's another one of them laws. It's another one of them chains they hung on you, wasn't it? That's not the way it happens. It happens the way God wants it. And then they say, well, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name, or you got to stand on one foot and rub your belly and pat your head at the same time, or it won't work, you know. All these little patterns and formulas they come up with, and that's not it. Okay? It's not it at all. Try being immersed in the Word. Huh? Instead of the water, realize that that water was representative of the Word, and being immersed into the Word, guess what will happen to you? You'll be changed, I guarantee you. He says in verse 3, because I will pour water. What is water?
The Word.
Upon him that is thirsty. There's no need, like just like the weather we've had around here for the last 3 months. We really had more rain than we thought we needed, didn't we? So no one was here praying for rain, I'm sure. You know, unless it was somebody selling umbrellas. So we didn't need any more. And he's telling you, there has to be a hunger and a thirst in you before God's going to pour it out on you. But first of all, who gives you that hunger and thirst?
He does.
He does. See, so it's not about you. He picks you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You got to see this picture. And when you see the whole picture, then you can relax. And you can forget about all those do's and don'ts and rules and regulations that the church world has given us. And you can rest in your life. That's what God puts you here, to have a contented, pleasurable, enjoyable life. See, our bodies are not designed to handle all the stress that gets thrown at us. And I mean, we get it from all sides. So why do we keep holding on to the things that are killing us? And they are killing us. This stuff about do's and don't do's, all these rules and regulations.
He said, "My peace I give unto you."
My peace I give unto you. See, do you believe it or not? I do. Lois asked me last night, said, "Did you hear the fire alarm go off?" I said, "Nope, I was asleep." She said, "Went off a long time." "Nope, I was asleep. That wasn't my concern. What can I do about it?" I may have heard it and said, "Oh, no."
The external fire, not the internal.
Yeah, the external fire. And it's not no concern of mine. I can't do anything about it, see? So we go on. Excuse me. He said he'll put the water upon the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. What do you think dry ground is? It's humanity. He said, "I'll put the flood out when I need to get the rest of them." That's the big harvest after the first fruit. When it comes time, I'll take care of them. Don't worry about it. "I will pour my spirit or my life upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring." Okay. What do we got to worry about? God's going to take care of it. He's going to address everybody. Didn't Paul write in 1 Corinthians 15... Christ the first fruit, then every man in his own order, or all humanity in their own order. So what are we worried about? See, the church is worried about, did someone get saved? Well, then you're telling me that Jesus failed? Because he died for the sins of the whole world, didn't he? Then who did he leave out? I mean, I can't get this picture in people's heads, but I understand that the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God.
That's not the way their church teaches.
I know their church don't teach it, but that don't make it right. A lot of churches teach it wrong. They're not capable of hearing anything yet. It's really frustrating, but that's for me. I have to realize they can't understand, can't see, can't hear, can't communicate with a blind deaf man. Okay. Verse 4 goes on to say, "And they shall," and there's "they." You know, sometimes I just want to gangster slap "they," because they are always the ones that cause the problem, aren't they? But I finally got them identified. There they are. There's "they."
They are the one that crucified
him. Yeah, they crucified him. Yeah, me too. "And they shall spring up," what? "In the midst," is what it should say, "or between the grass, as willows by the watercourse." Okay? In Isaiah 40, verse 6, let me back up a little bit. It says, "And the voice said, 'Cry,' and he said, 'What shall I cry?' He said, 'All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field, and the grass there withereth, and the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.'" Okay? And then Peter says the same thing. "All flesh is grass," 1 Peter 1:24. So I'm just showing you a couple of witnesses there. We're talking about the grass. So we're going to grow up in the midst of humanity. This Christ, this first fruit nature, is going to be raised in the midst of all that. Just like the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares and the wheat grew together, didn't they? And in the end, he said, "I'll pick up the tares and burn them first and get rid of them. Then everything will be all right. Then we'll have the big harvest." First, he had the purification before we have the harvest. You can't harvest anything till the purification. Okay? And it says, "As the grass, as willows by the water course." What is a water course?
Source.
It's a source. See? So the willows grow up because there's a source there. And it says, they shall spring up as among the grass. So he's talking about his chosen ones will spring up amongst the grass. But they're just like the willows grow by the water course or the source. So there's a source there in humanity. There's a source that brings you to maturity. He uses that to bring you in. Just like the willows use the water course for the willows to grow. If you don't have water, the willows don't grow there. Okay. So he said the same thing. That grass, that all flesh, that flesh of the earth, the flesh of our bodies, it is used to bring us forth in both positive and negative ways. But we need both. And one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, relating to the flesh, the natural man. Another shall subscribe with his hand, with his works, to the Lord, and surname, or give a flattering title to himself, by the name of Israel. See, you can talk what you want to, but if you don't walk it, what good is it? Somebody's going to read you like a book that has ears and eyes. They're going to see through everything you do. If you're not living it, they're going to see it. Okay. Humanity is not stupid. The book even says the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. They can see through your hypocrisy. The best thing to do is just do it right. And there's several things in Corinthians. I'll give you this. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 12. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. And I can turn to them a couple and read those real quick. 1 Corinthians. There, I went past it. 1 and 12. That now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, I am Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Okay, so what he's saying is, don't relate to the man. Don't get into idol worship. Don't worship the person that's bringing the message, just the messenger. See? It's the message is what it's all about, isn't it? Not the messenger. Okay? And 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, read that one. He says, because while one says I am of Paul and another says I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? As long as you're relating, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm kingdom, I'm sonship, I'm this, I'm that. Are you not yet carnal? Isn't that what he's saying? The only thing we should say is I'm a child of God. End of story. I don't care your color, your creed, your orientation of sex, whatever it is, you're all children of God. Is that true?
Yeah.
Some are obedient, some are disobedient. Still children of God. That's all it is. So we need to get away from that. But in the church world, what he's talking, everybody is trying to adhere to some kind of a doctrine, or if you do the right things then you'll be a Baptist, or if you do the right things you can be this Catholic, or you can be Pentecostal. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like all these celebrities in the church world, you know, they got the big names. If you're associating with them by name, see, well, I follow this man's doctrine or that man's doctrine, that don't make it right. You shouldn't follow me. Paul said this, mark them who follow Christ and follow them, didn't he? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. But he's saying, if I don't, in the same term, he's saying the same thing, flip it. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. If some mark someone who's not following Christ, don't follow them. Very, very correct interpretation of the word. Okay? So, just because you think that guy is a personality doesn't make him the right man, does it? Or woman, whatever it is. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, when he says King of Israel, what's the first thing people think of?
An actual king
sitting on a throne in a country called Israel, way over in the Middle East. The King of Israel sitting between your ears. You're Israel. You're the spiritual Israel. And the King is here. Thus saith the King of your Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the masses. I am the first, and I am the last, and apart from me there is no Elohim. Elohim cannot survive from being separated from God. Okay? The king.
That's why he asked God, where are you at?
Yeah. Can you be separated from your head and body? Can they be separated and survive? And that's what he's telling you there. There can be no anything you can't be beside me. There can't be anything without the Elohim. As I've said for years, in the beginning, Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, is the Father and Son all together. It's the plurality of God. And you can say Elohim and talk about the plurality of God. It's all a many-membered body. Correct? Verse 7, it goes on and says, "And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people?" He's questioned there. He said, who's going to do it for me? There's no one that can. "And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show them to them." Show to them. Let them show what you got, what's going to happen. We saw the guy last week prophesy the end of the world. And he showed to us he had nothing. Of course, that was his second try, and he's already made a third prediction. It's October 21st, I think he said now.
Sooner or later, his world is going to come to him.
Well, he may not live till October 21st, as old as he is. But anyway, these people don't realize, if they read the whole book, see, go back and read the Old Testament, because Paul said every good householder brings in things from the old and the new to put it together, okay? To put the house together. To build this house, I need some things from both covenants to see them. But anyway, where was I going with that? I lost it. Moving on. Verse 8. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, and have declared it, you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me?" Cross out the word yea, it shouldn't be there. There is no, and that word for God is not Elohim, and it's not Yahweh. This word is tesor. It's a rock. There is no rock. Besides him, there is no rock.
What number is that?
That's number 6697 in Strong's. Okay. He said, "I know of none." Remember in Corinthians where it said the rock that followed them through the desert when they were in the Exodus? That rock was Christ. And that's what he's talking about there. Besides Christ, there is nothing. Besides the Spirit of God, there is no God, is there? There's only one spirit in the whole earth, and that's God. All the rest of it's just imaginations. Excuse me. Verse 9. "They that make a graven image or an idol or an image, okay, are all of them vanity, and their delectable things or their precious things shall not profit them. In the end, will this gold, silver, and precious stones and all the things that man values, all the trinkets and the antiques and the things that people time trillions of dollars up in, do you think it's going to do them any good? It's not going to be anything. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed." See, all that stuff that they save up and put in their houses and store up in warehouses, none of that stuff can talk or do anything for them, can it? But it's been their God. Wherever you put your time, your talents, and your treasures, that's your God. You see what I'm saying? So those things can do nothing for me. No possession you have can do anything for you eternally, can it? No possession. We should realize it's just a blessing God give us something to make us comfortable on our journey, but that's it. It's just something to keep us. But just like the Israelites, as they was on their journey, every time they had a close encounter with God, they wanted to sit down and make idols, didn't they? Worship this rock or this rock or that rock or this mountain or this stream or this tree, something. And that's just showing you the nature of humanity is to worship something, and if you don't find out what it is, you're going to worship something else. But you're going to worship something, whether it's yourself or somebody. Verse 10, correct? Who has formed a god or a set up an idol, is what it should say, that is profitable for anything? Who has? Who's done that? Every one of us ought to be able to lift our hands and say, I have in the past set up idols. Okay? We all have done it.
We still do it unbeknownst.
Unbeknowingly, until we've come to perfection, we're still going to do it from time to time. And we thank God for His grace and mercy that will bring light upon those subjects and let us get rid of our idols. Let us break down our groves, our high places.
Thank God for coming
It'll all burn away. The fire of God will take care of it, guaranteed.
It never profits you.
Huh? It never profits you.
Can't.
Can't profit you. He said, behold, verse 11, all his associates shall be ashamed, and the workmen or the fabricators, they are of men, or the word there is Adam. They're Adamic. They're natural men. How can a natural man make a God? Isn't the churches today trying to canonize people or put them into sainthood and after they're dead? I mean, how can a dead person be made anything? I mean, they're gone. See, but they're trying to make idols out of them.
That's why they hid the body of Moses,
because they'd have sure made one out of that one. And Moses was only a shadow and a type of the Christ. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. They shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. When all these people, that's all the things that humanity is doing, he said, they're all going to stand up and all going to be ashamed together. Every one of us that's done the wrong things. Not once you've been cleared, once you realize the chains and bondages of the law have been removed, you don't have any more condemnation in Christ, do you? Now you're free. Verse 12 goes on and says, the smith or the fabricator of the iron with the tongs both works in the coals and fashions it with hammers and works it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. Well, when you put no word in, guess what? You're going to get faint. What's this, what's the old saying, the little cute saying people say? No word for 7 days makes 1 week. No word for a week, for 7 days makes 1 week. And there's a play on words there, but it's fitting. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it out with a line. He fashions it with chisels, not planes, with chisels. And he marks it out with the compass and makes it what? To resemble man, humanity, okay? Make it to resemble, and that word there is ish, not Adam, it's ish. 376 in your Hebrew dictionary. According to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Now, the word beauty right there, you know what it, the root of it is? Boast of yourself. It's boasting of yourself. Now, the beauty, what beauty do you think they fashioned it after? What idol, what did they shape the idol after? Every idol in God they had arms and legs and head, ears and eyes and nose and mouth and all that. What they formed it after man. They put it in what they thought was beautiful. See, and guess what most people see as beautiful? Themselves. See? There's the boastful. Idolatrous images come from the love of self in a prideful way.
Well, that's like me.
Yeah, it's me. You can bet on that.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. That's my God. There I am. That's me. I'm a God. And didn't Adam say that? I'll be like God. That's why, so they can look at themselves and see how beautiful they are. I ain't going there. I ain't going to say that. That was my cherubim working there. I'm stopping. I took that thought captive. I didn't let it out. He hewed down cedars and takes the cypress, the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain does nourish it. Then shall it be for a man. That man there is Adam. And I said that about the beauty up there, but you know this is the beauty of a man? That word man there, there's two men right there in that same verse in verse 13. The first one I said was Ish. The second one is Adam. Okay? So he's talking two different things there. One was humanity and one was Adam. And here again, this man in verse 15 is Adam. Said for a man, for Adam to burn, because he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bakes bread. He makes a god and worships it and makes a graven image or an idol and falls down to it.
I can do all things through myself.
That's what I used to say. Yeah. I used to say it that way. I can do all things through Dave who strengthens Dave. But I found out that was a misconception. That was that pride that doesn't last. Verse 16, he says he burns part, and the word part there, he burns half in the fire, and half thereof he eats flesh, he roasts flesh and is satisfied. He warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. God is saying, you must be stupid. You cut a tree down with your own strength. You split it up and make firewood out of it. You cook off of it. You warm yourself of it. And the last half of it, you take and carve it into an idol and say, there's a God that I worship and pray to. A piece of wood that's covered. You must be stupid. Hence my saying that humanity is the dumbest things God ever created. Humans. They do stupid things every day. And if you don't believe me, watch them. I'm not saying everybody's stupid. I'm just saying a lot of humanity has not woke up, and if humanity isn't woken up, they can do some really dumb things.
That's why he always has to ask us, where are you?
Yeah, where in the world are you? Your brain's not functioning yet. Okay, verse 17. And the residue thereof he makes a god, his image, his idol or image. He falls down to it and worships it and prays to it and says, deliver me because you are my God. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's no different when you say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic, I'm whatever you are, you want to be calling yourself. Don't you realize that's the same God right there? It's no different. When you start putting a badge on, the only thing you do when you label yourself is you're saying you're better than someone else. We are all children of the Most High God, Psalm 82, verse 6. I think it's John 10, 34. Jesus quoted that. Why can't we just be? Why do we have to be superior to someone? See, that's that competitive thing that humanity has in them. I had a friend stop by yesterday, hadn't seen for several years, and he's into competitive fishing. I got him started in it, and I got out of it. And he said, you know, you need to get back in. No. I don't like it. Because in competition, there's nothing wrong with having a little friendly game of something, but this competition thing means I think I'm better than you or I wouldn't be competing to start with, and I'm going to prove it to you. I mean, that's the attitude that goes with. If you don't have that attitude in that, you'll never win, will you? If you don't have that, what they call the killer instinct in sports, will you ever prosper in it? That's the thing I'm trying to say. It's hard to get that nature separated and be godly. I think the one man has to be removed from the earth, doesn't it? Say that?
Yeah.
Two men in the earth, and one's got to go and one will stay?
That's not a rapture.
And that's not a rapture. It's the one man's got to die. Verse 18. Now here's God saying what I just said. They said that they're ignorant or stupid. They have not known nor understood because he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their minds, not hearts, but minds that they cannot understand. Who shut them up? God did. God's not upset with them. So guess what? Neither should we. They're in our lives to benefit us. They're not doing it to you. They're doing it what? For you. Absolutely. And none considers in his mind, not heart again, mind, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. That word abomination should actually be an idol or an image. Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? And the tree represents what?
Humanity.
Humanity. Shall I fall down to the to what humanity has set up as a god? He said they don't even have the ability to say this. So there's no sense in us being upset with them, is there? We got to let that go. It said he feeds on ashes. He's talking about the carnal man, the natural man. And the book says clearly that a natural man receives what from God? Nothing. He can't because it's spiritually discerned. He feeds on ashes, a deceived mind. Hello. Deception comes from within. He's already got it. A deceived heart or mind has turned him aside that he cannot deliver his what? Now, I don't like the word soul here because it's not the right word. Okay? It should say he cannot deliver his inner being. If you could deliver yourself, then tell me why God sent his son for that horrible death on a tree. You would be God, yeah. See, so it's not so, but it's just say the inner being. Nor say is there not a lie, and they don't have they're deceived and they cannot deliver his inner being, nor say is there not a lie in my right hand or in my strength. See, I can do all things through Dave who strengthens Dave. There was a lie in my strength, wasn't there? There was a lie in there. I found the lie. I found out it was a lie. I couldn't do anything about it when God crushed me like a bug. You know what? I found out then I didn't have any strength because he took it. Just like that, I knew that I was lying to myself. Wasn't very comfortable, but I'm thankful it happened. For what I have in my mind now, I would never trade for what I had before. Never. Okay. And then he goes back and says, remember these, Jacob, Israel. He didn't say Jacob and Israel. That word and is an added word. He said, remember this, Jacob, Israel. Why did he say Jacob, Israel? He's still a double-minded man. You're in the process. Double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And Jacob was as unstable as we are when we start. That's what he was in there for. That's the pattern. So you can see, we're still Jacob, Israel. We're still in the process. We're still unstable. Because you are my servant. And he said, Jacob, Israel, both of you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. Now he makes a separation. Israel, who is Israel? He's the chosen one. You shall not be forgotten of me or by me. And I want to read you some things out of the Psalms. Psalms 9. Take me just a second to get there. Psalm 9:16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in his work of his own hands. Read another one. Psalm 16:10. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer your Holy One to see corruption. He wasn't talking about the body of Jesus or the body of David or anybody else. He was talking about Christ, the Holy One. See, King David wasn't a Holy One. I'm not a Holy One. You're not a Holy One. But the Christ within us is. And that one will never see corruption. It can't be corrupted, can it? Okay. One more. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul or my inner being from the power of the grave because he shall receive me. Or he has received me. How's that? He's already chosen us. Just to show you, God hasn't forgotten you. The ones he chose before the conception of the world. In Ephesians, he said, you were chosen in him before the foundation or the conception of the world. If he chose you, do you think he'd give you up for anything? No. His plans and purposes will never fail. And here recently, in the last few months, someone wrote an article on the web and was posted on the Kingdom Resources about plans and purposes. Said God has purposes, he doesn't have a plan. Well, I did a whole bunch of research on that, looked up every word in there, and I found out somebody didn't do the research, because there's three or four times in there when it's actually called plan, and the word's mistranslated, and there's and the word plan and purpose are synonymous words. You know what synonymous words are? Same thing, you know. A plan and a purpose is the same thing. And they tried to split some theological hair and make some big long thing. And then she had a disclaimer on it. She said, I want to thank the person who did research on this for me. She didn't even research it. Okay. You handle that one. That's, if somebody wrote an article and didn't even do the research, then I really got an issue with that article.
Yeah. It's too
much. Huh? Baking a cake with somebody else's recipe I've never tried, and don't worry about measuring, just throw something in there, you know.
Is that two minds working on it?
I think it's more than two. Might be three or four of them in there.
That's at least double.
at least double-minded. Okay. Where'd I leave off here?
22.
22? Okay. He said, I have blotted out a thick cloud. Now, as a thick cloud. Well, thick cloud, it literally here speaks of darkness or ignorance. Said, I have blotted out the darkness and the or the ignorance, which is your transgressions. You understand that? He blocked, not as a cloud, but he blocked out the clouds or the ignorance and darkness of your transgressions as a cloud. Okay? As a cloud. Your sins. And it's not sin, it's a sinful nature. Okay? It's a sinfulness. He said, I blocked it, your transgressions and as a cloud, and your sinful nature, okay, your sinfulness. He said, return to me because I have redeemed you. Did he say, I'm going to?
No.
It's a past tense. Done deal. When was it done? Before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the conception of the world. Not on Calvary. That was just a showing for the doubting minds to see something. He said it was already done before then. God thought it and it was done. So it's a past tense. If we can get this, realize that King James usually puts things in the past tense or future tense, but sometimes it's right. Sometimes they actually get it right. You know, they say a blind hog will find an acorn in the woods once in a while if they root around enough. So you root around enough in this word, you'll find where they actually translated something right. And then verse 23 starts out, sing, you heavens. Did you ever hear heavens sing? Heavens is us. God dwells in the heavens. That's us. So he said, sing, you heavens, because the Lord has done it. Did it say he's going to do it? Did he say get her done? No. He said, he has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Wonder what that might be. The natural man, the flesh. Break forth into singing, you mountains, the highest part of the earth. O forest, the humanity, and every tree thereof, because the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself, O forest, and every tree therein, because the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Okay? First of all, if he said he redeemed Jacob, that's the flesh. He redeemed it. There's a purpose for it. And he glorified himself in where? That's the inner man, not the outer flesh man. That's not even in the picture. It's the inner man. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb, I am the Lord that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. Didn't have a whole lot of help there, did he? He did it by himself. That frustrates the tokens. And that word tokens is not correct. It's a misleading word. It should be, it frustrates the signs of the liars and makes diviners mad. Just like the one that projected that we was going to have the end of the world last Saturday, 6 o'clock. Well, he frustrated that sign, didn't he?
Well, he became rich.
Yeah, but he won't profit from it, will he? He'll probably not live long enough to make the money any good to him. And it makes diviners mad. That turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. That's what's happening. They can't prove anything. They can't do anything. They're all making it up in their own head. It's not true. It's not reality, is it? It's just what they've made up in their head, trying to make themselves be known to somebody. You know, people that do things like that, it's because they have no appreciation of who they are. I'm going to tell you, you can take the lowest part of your body, some that we set on, you know, the part we set on, and if that thing decides not to work, you're a pretty miserable cat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's something people consider the least beautiful part of the body, you know, the least comely part. And if it don't function, I'm going to tell you what, you are one miserable puppy. And it's the same thing. You know, people look the wrong way and don't realize how. You don't have to be a big name. You don't have to be a big celebrity to do God's will. Just do what he tells you to do. He hasn't called everybody to be out there. Let the world produce those things because they're all fruitless anyway. Let them go. Let them do what they want to do. It doesn't bother me. Like I've said for years, what people think about me is none of my business. I know who I am. I know my Father loves me, and beyond that, that doesn't make any difference, does it? If you know who you are and know your Father loves you, you're sitting on Mount Zion. Okay? If you really know that, you're on Mount Zion. That's the only place that's revealed, is on Mount Zion. That'll come to pass, what I just said right there, in a couple more chapters. You'll hear some more about that. Verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb. I am the Lord that makes all things and stretches out." We did that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 25. I did that one too. What am I doing? 26. There we go. "He confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers." If God sends you to say it, it's none of your concern. Say it. "He'll confirm the word of his servants and perform the counsel of his messengers." When you give counsel to someone, guess what? If you're doing God's will, God's putting the words in your mouth, you're trusting him, say what comes out. Just let her loose. Okay. "That says to Jerusalem," and what does Jerusalem mean?
Teaching of double peace.
Teaching of double peace. Have it a double portion, okay? "You shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah you shall be built. I will raise up the decayed places thereof." He said, go ahead and say it, because I'm going to do it for you. See, God put it in the heart of the prophet to say those words, didn't he? "That says to the deep." What is the deep?
Right.
It's humanity. The deep is humanity, the waters, the deep waters. "Be dry." Okay? And literally, it's kind of like it said in Genesis, to the deep, and this is Genesis passage right here, to the deep, the humanity, "Be dry or you are waste and desolate." Remember Genesis 1:1? "And I will dry up your rivers or your source." Guess what? He dried up the source. The source that he's talking about drying up is what? Flesh. There's no more need for that flesh. He's going to drop and show you that the only thing that you can survive by is by the water of his word. Don't need the natural stuff. All it needs is the spiritual stuff. "That says to Cyrus." Do you know who Cyrus was? Cyrus was a conqueror of Babylon, and he allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Who would you think that was?
Christ.
It was the Christ. Who conquered Babylon? And here's Babylon right up here on top of my head, right in my head. Christ conquered it and allowed the Jew or the spiritual man to return to Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, from the natural to the heavenly. Who did that? Christ did.
Back to his origin.
Yeah. And you know, another word for that in the Brown Driver and Briggs, it says, "You possess the furnace." It's the meaning of that word, Cyrus. Now, think about that. You possess the furnace. What is this? He said he makes his ministers a what?
Flaming fire.
A flaming fire. So you know how he burns all that stuff out of you? By setting you on fire. So you really possess that furnace, which is Christ. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to purify you. He's going to burn all that garbage out. All that dross is going to be burned away. It's all burning. It's always been in symbols from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way through. And you possess that within yourself. See, people don't tell you those things. Do you know how many people sitting in church today waiting for a preacher to get them saved? And Jesus already died before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain back then. And they're waiting for something to be done that was done eons and eons ago. No one knows when it was all done. Just before, you know. Before time, wasn't it? That's many, many thousands of years ago. So everybody's waiting for something because they're believing in the tenses that the church teaches. Okay?
Just like in a fire, when it burns you, it hurts you. Mm-hmm. Your flesh and thinking.
Yeah.
So that, like when the burning bush, it's prickly.
It burnt the curse up.
Prick you.
And briars and thorns are the curses.
So it's going to hurt your thinking process, your natural thinking process, and bring about what that was.
Absolutely. And here's the key to it, to that word Cyrus. Look here, it says, he is my shepherd. Who's the shepherd?
Christ.
Christ. He's my shepherd, and he shall perform all of my pleasure. That word pleasure right there is probably more or less, if I look it up, I've never looked it up, but I should have, but I know it's fitting the pattern. It's his plans and purposes, his desires, okay? There's a lot of words that are synonymous there. Even saying to Jerusalem, that's the spiritual Jerusalem, that's the inner man, isn't it? You shall be built. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. He said, you shall be built. And to the temple, know ye not, you're the temple of the living God. Your foundation, what? What's it say, Mike?
Shall be laid.
Is laid. The foundation already is. If you look in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it said no other foundation can be laid than the foundation that is laid, which is Christ. It's a done deal. People just can't understand this. I'm sorry they can't understand, and I'm not going to apologize for God showing me something.
That's because they still want to create those graven images.
They already created them. They already got them idols. And they usually hired a preacher to help them create them. Preachers are good at making idols.